Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
No, Lord, there is nothing too hard for you. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. The Chaldeans that fight against the city shall come and set fire on the city and burn it with the houses upon whose roofs they have offered incense unto Baal, poured out drink offerings unto other gods to provoke me to anger. But the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the works of their hands, saith the Lord. For this city hath been to me as a provocation of mine anger and of my fury from the day that they built it, even unto this day, that I should remove it from before my face. Constant disobedience. You know, we look back through Kings and Chronicles. There were times, very few, when a king would try to resurrect the Spirit of God amongst the people, and a lot of them would, and it would be recorded as this king done good in the sight of the God, this king done the will of God and tore down some of the high places, this king did great in the eyes of God and tore down all of the high places, but the majority, it's like a 4 or 5 to 1 ratio. This king done evil in the sight of God. This king done evil in the sight of God. You know, but there were still always a few moral minority that was still there. And I do believe America is in a very similar situation right now. There is a moral minority here. It used to be the moral majority, but there is a moral minority here now. But God is saying from its very beginning, the nation of Israel has disobeyed me in one way or another. They could never pull it all together and follow me with all their hearts. They couldn't even show me with their hands through the law that they were attempting to follow me. Because of all the evil of the children of Israel and the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets, and the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and they have turned unto me the back and not the face. And we talked about that in a past episode when Moses was coming in to Pharaoh every day, telling him to turn, to let my people go. And at one point, right near the end, right before the firstborns were taken, Moses and Aaron come in there. And you couldn't, and I explained this in detail in the past episode, you couldn't just stroll up to Pharaoh's throne. It was by appointment only. Mm-hmm. And there was a process. You read the books of Jasher and Jubilees, you'll see there was a very extensive process, you know, coming and bowing yourself down, depending on how many languages. Egypt had like 70 languages. And there were 70 stones leading up to the throne. Depending on how many languages you could speak, you could go up that far on those stones. If you were one of the Egyptian princes, you spoke all of the languages, they were very educated people, you could go all the way up to the first stone. And if you did that, Pharaoh would actually come down, halfway down his steps to his throne, and consult with you. And there were all sorts of bowings. It was a lengthy process. We see Moses just kicked the door in and strolled in.
Mm-hmm.
And Pharaoh done nothing because the fear of God was in Pharaoh. But the thing that I'm getting to is right there near the end, right in the middle of their conversation, Moses and Pharaoh, Moses turns around and walks away from him. That was a death sentence if you were in Pharaoh's court, to give your back to the God of the earth, Pharaoh. And that's what's saying right here. And they have turned unto me the back and not the face. You do not disrespect your deity with your back. You face him. You prostrate yourself before him. You turn your back on him. Just like turning your back on the king. It's a big no-no. Though I taught them, raising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. But they set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. They have moved their false idols and their abominable religions they have created themselves right into my temple. Christian, is your religion, I'm going to say religion, God hates religion. You do know that, right? Religion is a process. Religion is a theatrical process that you do to show a deity that you're following him. God doesn't want that. God wants a spiritual relationship with you. He wants a conversation with you daily. He doesn't care about your religious processes, your fasting, you're not fasting, you're fasting this certain thing this week, you're fasting chocolate next week. Oh, that's a tough one, Jonathan. That fasting chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that'll kill you. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And
some people.
Yeah, and that one meal fasting a day.
Oh, yeah.
That one's got to be treacherous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I eat one meal a day.
Or fasting till 5 in the afternoon.
I can't imagine.
Or the evening.
If you eat 5 times, I can't imagine skipping one of them. Yeah. You know, that's got to be. You know what? Fasting is not a religious process. Fasting is a spiritual cleansing. You don't do it on a certain day for so many hours. When your spirit needs to take control of this flesh, you fast. You fast for days at a time. And you're not just fasting chocolate or red meat. You're taking all substance away except for water. And I tell you what, I've done it many times for as long as 25 days. The first 2 or 3 days, this body will tell you it's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, about the middle of the second day, I'm going to die. I'm going to prove it to you. Now your head's going to hurt all afternoon.
Not to mention the amount of people that come at you with food.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's
Seriously, the minute you decide to go to
bed. Spiritual battle, man.
Yep.
Spiritual battle. Aches and pain. Stomach starts growling. Then the headache. Yes, the body's saying, yep, I'm dying. I'm going to die. I'll be dead by tomorrow. Yep. If you don't eat that brownie that Jonathan just brought into this room.
This is it.
He never brings brownies in here, and he just brought it in and set it on the table.
That's how it works, too.
And Jonathan doesn't even realize he did it.
Nope.
A spiritual battle going on.
Yep.
God hates religion.
Mm-hmm.
When you fast for spiritual cleansing, and you do it right. And you don't tell people you're fasting.
Mm-hmm.
You just do it.
Yeah, don't go out and, guys, I'm on a fast right now. Excuse me if I'm a little snappy.
Yes. I mean, you know, it's fine to tell them if they're demanding you eat dinner with them.
Yeah. But don't go out your way. Like,
yeah, don't announce it on Facebook. Oh, I'm going on a 7-day fast next week.
Yeah. Day 3 of my fast, guys.
How do I look? And that's even mentioned in the Bible. The Hebrews, the Pharisees and all, when they would fast, they would even put makeup on their face to make themselves look withered.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're really suffering.
Mm-hmm.
That 7-day chocolate fast has got to be a very suffering thing. That's got to make you look horrible. But
take a lot out of you.
Lose your religion, Christian. That's what I'm asking you right now. What have you moved in to your relationship with God? God's saying here, they put idols and all sorts of abominations in my house. Well, his house is your heart. What else is in there? Bad stuff? Marginal stuff? Stuff you know shouldn't be in there? Why don't you go on a real fast and sort it all out? Because that's what fasting does. Your mind gets taken over by the spirit man who lives in the heart. God says, I place the spirit in the heart because the carnal mind of man is contrary to the will of God. And this flesh is an abomination. It's up to the spirit man to take control. Fasting supercharges the spirit man. He will go into this mind where the seed of the serpent resides, lock him in the back chambers and clean house. And all those file cabinets with those things that shouldn't be in there, they get I wish they could be removed. They get locked away. They can't be removed. They're there. Whatever you pour into this vessel will remain till you die, unfortunately. And if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, it'll all be played back for you one day in real time. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the projector just won't come on. You'll walk over there and say, I got this one, Father. No need to play these 7,400 volumes of two-hour movies that Dave did, okay? I got this one.
To splash.
Yeah.
And it says he throws it to the deepest ocean, and who are we to turn around and go fishing at the beach?
That's exactly right. But if Christ is not standing there beside you, that's IMAX theater, buddy.
Yeah. You might as well get the popcorn ready, because you're going to see it. Everybody's going to see
it. And you will
be
on your knees trembling in fear.
Yeah, it's no joke.
Watching the rehash of your life and the choices that you made and didn't make. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not. Neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Now, when there strikes a chord in America, the abominations of abortion, fetuses being fed into the fire after being pulled out of a mother's womb, God says, nothing like this has ever even entered into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. And now therefore, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, concerning this day, wherefore ye say, I shall be delivered unto the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whither I have driven them in mine anger, and in my fury, and in my great wrath, and I will bring them again into this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. They shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way. Now we have done a Jeremiah time warp. From 36 to 37, we've jumped 2,500 years into the millennial time. And I give it that time period because I think we're there.
Yeah.
We're just moments away from tribulation beginning. Once tribulation begins, we are a little more than three and a half years into that, the persecutions of Christians. Then God, right before the day of wrath, will take us out of here, but not before. You better realize, Christian, because there's going to be a great falling away, because pastors, false pastors and good pastors too, who didn't read the book, have been telling people God's going to snatch you out of here in the twinkling of an eye at the first trump, and you're not going to see all these bad things that are going to happen to this world. But yes, you are. It's multiple places in here. The martyrs, the church will be persecuted by Antichrist. It's going to be his favorite pastime. If the rapture takes you out of here on day one of the tribulation when Antichrist comes, who's he going to persecute? It's just automatically millions more Christians going to pop up on the scene? No, they're not.
He's not going to persecute his people.
No, because the restrainer is going to be gone. It's going to be very difficult to find the Lord during that time. If you don't know him already when that time begins, Holy Spirit's, he's going to be on vacation. God said, I'm going to pull him out. You'll be on your own. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. It doesn't say I will give them one law. They will live under the law, but it says in other places, they live under the law until the law is written on their heart. Right here, he skips right over that part. Says, I'll give them one heart. Love of God is how you follow God with all your heart. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Wow, what a what a beautiful salvation verse right there. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. He already made it, the first covenant given to Abraham, that I will not turn away from them like I did during the law. Because they were disobedient, I placed the law there, legal statutes, because I said, God says, I will not dwell with flesh much longer. I'm going to place this law here and see if they can just make an attempt to follow me. But he says, I will not turn away from them to do them good. I will always bless them if they follow me with all their heart, Christian. God says right there, I will always bless you if you follow me with all your heart, but I will put my fear in their hearts. They will not depart from me. And why should you fear a loving God, Jonathan?
No, that's my thing right there is I'll put my fear in their heart. All right, that's the wisdom.
Yes.
And so God's going to put his wisdom in their hearts to where they won't. They'll know better than to depart.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, if you don't fear your father,
right,
and he tells you to go mow the grass, well, I ain't going to go mow the grass.
What I'm saying is like a so much knowledge that you can't be conned by anything on the outside.
Anymore. There you go. Knowledge. Knowledge right. of God, which we all had before he placed us in the womb.
Right.
I knew you before I placed you in the womb. You came in, the veil of innocence was placed on you so you could make a choice in this life whether you deserve eternal life. Exactly what it's doing. And if you have come to that conclusion, he says right here, it will be permanently put on your heart.
Mm-hmm. Which Absolutely. Is tied to him saying in the other chapter that he'll write his law.
Write his law on the heart.
Hearts.
That's right. Love of God. Yeah. The only law. What does Jesus say? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And you have the law. You have possessed the law. Yeah, will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land, assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. Wow, he's not holding anything back there.
Mm-mm.
Not half-heartedly doing anything. God has done things half-heartedly in the past for the children of Israel because he knew they didn't deserve it. But in his mercy, he went ahead and done it. But he says, no, with my whole heart and my whole soul. Thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. The fields shall be bought in this land. Wherefore you say, it is desolate without man or beast. It is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. And shall buy fields for money and subscribe evidences and seal them and take witnesses in the land of Benjamin and in the places about Jerusalem and in the cities of Judah and in the cities of the mountains and in the cities of the valleys and in the cities of the south, for I will cause their captivity to return, saith the Lord. Duality there. After 70 years, Cyrus the Great let them go, sent them back to rebuild their city. God said at that time, though, I will have nothing else to do with you except to bring forth a pure Hebrew male child so my son can be born. You have to read millennial period and time period of Jeremiah after they were carried away there. Jeremiah and Isaiah, amazing books. Don't let anyone tell you the Old Testament is not applicable to your Christian walk. I cannot hardly read a single verse in this book. I cannot apply to your Christian walk and the fact that God hates religion. I tell you, Jeremiah and Isaiah beat religion up with a baseball bat. So you're one of those legalists out there, one of those holiness out there. You know, content of character is the most wonderful thing that you can have, but it does nothing to foster your relationship with God. Things you do with your hands, God says, I don't want. I want your heart. I want you to do things with your heart. I want love to pour out of you for your neighbor and for me. And if you do these things, I will bless you abundantly, Christian. Just leave the religion behind. And with David and Jonathan on WVFF, Veterans for Freedom Radio, 97.7, coming to you from Cottageville, South Carolina, at the Horseshoe Lake Studios. And Pastor Dave's a little tongue-tied here at the end. On Between the Lines, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.